Welcome to Red Meat, the conservative news update you need from Odyssey stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in. Today we're digging into the Strait of Hormuz and some of the strange bedfellows the war in Iran has created. Let's start with the Annie Fry Show.
Very excited to have Jim Carafano on a day like today, senior counselor to the president and E.W. Richardson fellow for international engagement at the Heritage Foundation. Jim, they're talking about ceasefire, including Hezbollah, and peace talks between Israel and Lebanon, and the possibility of Iran coming to the table with the necessary agreements as quick as this week. What are your thoughts on the latest news headlines?
Cats and dogs living together. look.
Peace and harmony.
Right. I mean, no, if a year ago, you know, you remember many years ago when Biden got election, it was like the first interview we did after the election. I said, you know, the illegal population in the United States is going to double Joe Biden. Right. And if a year ago we'd had a conversation and I said, hey, in a year's time, you know, Venezuela is going to be tamed. Cuba is going to be on the ropes. The Russians will be losing ground in Ukraine. Lebanon's going to make peace with Israel. Iran's nuclear program is going to be eliminated. You would look at me and say, Jim, well, first of all, I would have never said that.
Sure.
Because that just the all of that actually happening in a year's time was just that was unthinkable. But the reality is it all has had, and it's like a giant Jenga puzzle, right? You pull one piece out, everything else collapses. Well, what Trump has done is in Latin America, in the Middle East, he's pulled out the piece of the puzzle that's made everything else kind of fall apart. And in the Middle East, it was always Iran. Iran was the great destabilizer of the region. It was the nuclear threat. It was the threat to rain down ballistic missiles on anybody that messed with it. It was unleashing its surrogates to attack its enemies and keep a sphere of influence, and that's all been crushed. And the Lebanon thing is a direct consequence of all that. But you know, I got to tell you, in fairness to the Iranians, right? What started the radical transformation of the Middle East was not Donald Trump. It was the Iranians, and it was greenlighting the October 7th attack on Israel, because the direct consequence of that was an Israeli attack, not just an Israeli crushing Hamas, but Israelis directing attacking Iran and demonstrating that they could be defeated militarily. And when Trump jumped on that, that's what just rewrote the whole game.
You know, I think that the question that I have, I know a lot of novices as I am have, is what does it look like to see this thing all the way through and to complete the mission here? And is there a political pressure to maybe jump out of it a little too soon?
Yeah. So first of all, I think from a shamelessly American perspective, you know, protecting our interests, the game's already over. We've already won, right? We have destroyed or greatly reduced all the things that made Iran a significant threat to our interests and to the stability of the region. And then the nukes, the surrogates like Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, and the ballistic missile program. So we've already won. What we're doing now is we're just showing off. Literally, Donald Trump is just showing off, right? We didn't have to open the straits. He's just doing that really to show off. And really send a message to everybody all around the world that, you know, I mean what I say.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't actually need a deal with the Iranians. He could go back in and mow the grass anytime you want it. You look like you're going to dig up the uranium, we blow them up again. Build a ballistic missile, we blow it up, right? Launch them to it, we kill them all, right? So we could mow the grass, right? He is literally humiliating them to make a deal. I mean, I don't even know. First of all, if the Iranians make a deal, who knows if you can trust them, and who knows if the government's even going to be stance. But this is, he's just showing off. Now, I think two things. One is, I do think that in my prediction is that in 3 months, the gas, the price will be the new price of eggs. Right. Remember, Trump got elected. The price of eggs was high. Everybody was like, oh, my God, it's the end of the world as we know it. Like, now the price of eggs is like whatever. And in 3 months from now, nobody's going to be talking about the price of gas. But what's more important, and this is something I genuinely think people don't understand, is I think the president is less concerned about the impact of the war on the midterms than everybody else is. And the reason for that is Trump's objective and what's going to help get another Republican reelected in 2028 is, what does the country look like in 2028? That's much, much more important than the midterms. And that is much more determinant about how people will view him and his accomplishments historically. So he's playing. That's one. The other thing is look, presidents lose in the midterm all the time. It doesn't really affect their ability to be president. So that's not as big a deal as people think it is. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is there's the margins are so narrow. Who knows what the issues in these key districts are going to swing on? I don't know. Especially if the price of gas is down. I mean, so the notion that you can control that destiny, you really can't. I mean, you can throw all the money into the district you want. You can get the price of gas down to a buck a gallon. You still might lose.
Yeah.
So I just don't think this is the crisis for the president that people think he is. And I think what we're seeing is every day you're basically adding to deterring every enemy we have in the world, saying, oh my God, these Americans are on the march. And, you know, we just need to put our heads down.
What was the market's reaction to the reopening of the Strait of Hormuz? Here's Mark Cox.
So on the news that the Strait of Hormuz is going to be unrestricted now, according to Iran's foreign minister, the Dow is up. Dow futures are up. Well, the Dow is up 1.47%, over 700 points right now. You got to imagine that's going to impact oil prices as well. And it just so happens that we have Deputy Press Secretary Kush Desai.
I think, look, the president's been very clear that we would be subject to some short-term or temporary disruptions as a result of Operation Epic Fury. And I think we're starting to see the light, so to speak, at the end of the tunnel here, where I think the president's, obviously, the military intervention as well as our diplomatic efforts are yielding results here with the Iranians.
Yeah, that's true. If you don't mind, I'm just going to read the Truth Social the president sent out about 3 minutes ago. The Strait of Hormuz is completely open and ready for business and full passage, but the naval blockade will remain in full force and effect as it pertains to Iran only until such time as our transaction with Iran is 100% complete. This process should go very quickly, in that most of the points are already negotiated. Thank you for your attention to this matter, President Donald J. Trump. So clearly, this is the outcome to this point that the president was aiming for.
That's exactly right. And you mentioned the stock market, but the price of crude oil is about just over $80 now, which is down almost $40 from that $120 peak or so that we saw a couple or a few weeks ago. And so, yes, I think, again, the president's diplomatic team has been engaged in close discussions with the Iranians, and the military has obviously done its part to get the Iranians to the negotiating table. And so, again, I think we're going to start seeing some economic relief here from the disruptions that we've seen over the past few weeks.
Speaking of the economy, I mean, there's obviously a perception by some people that the economy is terrible, but that's just simply not the case. Now, if people actually feel like it's better, I guess that's something else. But I mean, what do you make of everything going on? Because we just had tax day and people are already saying that they got, in some cases, thousands of dollars more back this year than past years because of what Trump has put in place.
That's exactly right. I mean, look, I think there are certainly many Americans who felt the squeeze from higher gas prices. And obviously today's news is more vindication that these temporary disruptions are just that, temporary. But when you look at the overall state of the economy, you know, we remain on a very solid trajectory. When you look at inflation, for instance, the core inflation has actually started to cool. In our last inflation report, we actually saw the prices of many household essentials like beef, eggs, dairy, prescription drugs actually decline month over month. When you mentioned tax day, I mean, over 50 million Americans have taken advantage of at least one of the president's signature tax provisions. No tax on tips, no tax on overtime, no tax on Social Security. And this is thousands of dollars in economic relief. And the thing is that this is the benefits of the tax cuts go beyond just a one-time tax refund check. there are so many pro-business provisions in there that will increase investment, that will build on the trillions of dollars in manufacturing investments that the president has secured thanks to his trade deals, thanks to his deregulation, thanks to his energy abundance, that we're on a solid trajectory here to continue seeing cooling inflation and accelerating job, wage, and economic growth.
So he's flying around the country right now, Coach, to drive that point home. I know he was in Las Vegas yesterday. He's going to Phoenix today. Is that right?
That's right. He's in Arizona today. I think, again, with Turning Point USA, and I think he'll be talking a lot about not just the economy, but everything else the administration is doing on the Make America Healthy Again agenda, for instance, what we're doing to lower drug prices with these most favored nation deals that we're crafting with pharmaceutical companies. And we're already seeing drug prices, as I said, come down significantly since the president took office. So there's a lot to talk about here, and there's going to be a lot more to talk about as administration. You know, we're not taking our foot off the gas here.
Looking ahead to the midterm elections, I mean, what does the administration need to do, especially you, Kush, as one of the White House deputy press secretaries? What do you all need to do to drive that point home to make people realize that, no, our economy, the country is moving in the right direction?
Sure. I think there's two things. I think number one, I think we have to continue doing the work that we have been doing past year and change. And again, the results of I think in some cases speak for themselves. When you look at trillions of dollars in investments, when you look at real wages finally increasing, those are wages after inflation. When you see these trillions of dollars in investments come in, and I think from our part, I think we're going to continue going out there. I think you're going to start seeing a lot more activity by the president, by members of the cabinet, to get out there and take this message directly to the American people to remind them, hey, you know, 2 years ago when Joe Biden was president, our economy, our country was in the doldrums. And now we've seen a tremendous turnaround in our country. And again, the best is yet to come.
Here's more from Tara Servetius.
Okay, folks, this is actually happening. The Euroweenies be cloning themselves. Listen to this. France and the UK are meeting today for their, at the beginning of the first meeting of their multinational mission to restore freedom of navigation to the Strait of Hormuz. They invited over 40, what they call non-combatant countries to participate in this. Guess who wasn't invited? Do I really need to tell you? Us. France and the UK are co-hosting a video conference today. They're calling it a multinational mission to reopen the Strait of Hormuz, and they did not invite us. Okay. Who else didn't they invite? Israel. So the only people capable of keeping the Strait open were not invited. Yeah. Okay, great. In short, the France-UK effort is positioned as an alternative to complement, an alternative or complement that deliberately excludes the U.S. from its core coalition to maintain. Okay, cool. They're not going to actually get their fingers dirty, though, going out there with military equipment. Cool. So how are they going to do it? They don't say. Do you remember? This was one of the funniest stories this week. About a month ago, end of March, the very Nazi-looking Keir Starmer, Prime Minister of the UK, saying he was going to help, he was going to send a British minesweeper to the Strait. Whatever happened to that? Should have arrived by now. Yeah. It didn't make it past Greece. It broke down. They're still repairing it. So, yeah. How about the UK? Well, you know what Keir Starmer did a month ago as well? He told the Russians, you're not bringing any more of this, sanctioned oil through the English Channel. We're going to stop you. We're going to take your ship. So don't bring it through here. Don't you? He was trying to sound like Trump because his polling, his approval is so low. So Russia went, move sanctioned oil through the English Channel. You're saying we can't do that? Cool. What a great idea. We think we'll try to move sanctioned oil through the Russian, through the English Channel. And you know what they did? They flanked the ship with two warships. And you know what they did? Sailed right through. Yeah. With the British Navy sending not a warship. Do they even have one that works? But a separate ship, and they followed him through. But they did take photographs, okay, to document the whole situation. They got photographs, and I'm sure they'll attach them to a strongly worded email. These people are a joke, folks. A joke. So when your liberal friends cry tears of pain that these people are not part of our coalition anymore, who cares? The big beef this week, And really, the last couple of weeks, it's just been this announcement that Iran had the Strait blockaded. They didn't. The Strait of Hormuz, for the record, has never been blockaded. Never was. What happened was Iran started a rumor that they had mined the Strait. Once the insurance companies that carry the tanker that cover the tanker ships heard about it, they said, well, we can't cover your ship. Sorry, we can't afford to lose a $1 billion ship. You're going to have to find insurance somewhere else. So they all stacked up. There's never been a blockade. Fox News is doing it again. Oh, a blockade. No, the blockade's not over because there was never a blockade. So if Iran's saying, yeah, it's officially reopened, isn't that great? What, you're going to recall the rumor and that there's mines in the water? I don't even know what that means. But whatever the case, they made it in tandem, apparently, this announcement. Iran's foreign minister and Trump announced the Strait of Hormuz has officially reopened. So far, the media reporting on Iran has gone like this. Trump and Pete Hegseth have failed because they did not foresee a blockade by Iran of the Strait of Hormuz. They didn't see it coming, and they failed. Now Trump's doing his own strait blockade, and he lost control, and the whole thing's a failure. I've been meaning to address this for a while. Oh, they'll blockade the strait. We'll lose all our money. The world will go broke. It'll crash the world economy. It's going to be awful. Everybody has always known Iran would blockade the strait. It's just, if you go back in media archives, you could probably still find a lot of it on Google from past conversations about reining Iran in. That's always what they throw up, especially the Democrats can't do it. So sorry, Iran will blockade the strait. So the idea that no one thought about it, that it would have, I mean, it's ridiculous. We've had multiple generals go on television, most of them retired, say, look, we planned for this for years. We have every contingency possible for Iran. It's the most obvious conflict probably on the face of the earth. But what term am I using here? Well, I'm using the term that the media keeps using, blockade. Iran will blockade the strait. Why didn't Trump know that Iran would blockade? Fun fact, y'all, Iran didn't blockade the strait. That did not happen. Yet you can barely get through a mainstream media and sometimes Fox News newscast without them saying, yeah, Iran blockaded the strait, but Trump, what? Okay, fun fact. No one has blockaded the Strait of Hormuz ever in modern times, period. Let me say that again. No one has blockaded the Strait of Hormuz, not Trump and not Iran. This is a really good way to tell if a reporter, one, has any idea what they're talking about, or two, is lying to you, or both. Here's what actually happened in this conflict. Iran started a rumor that it had mined the straits, that it had placed mines there and they could go off at any moment. So Iran started a rumor it mined the strait, which now looks to be untrue. I'm reasonably certain it's untrue. I mean, we've swept it. Maybe there's one we missed somewhere. But Iran started a rumor that it had mined the strait, because rumors are all it has at this point. Insurance companies that cover those big tankers then refused to cover the ships due to the risk. Because why? Iran is incapable of a blockade. You need a Navy for that. With coverage from an Air Force, Navy's at the bottom of the sea. Air Force is irretrievably broken and gone. Will not come back unless a Democrat wins and rebuilds it with billions of dollars on pallets in the middle of the night. I'm still bitter about that, but whatever. Meanwhile, he's blockading the strait. No, he's not. No, wait, neither Trump or Iran ever blockaded the strait. No. Trump is currently blockading ship traffic to and from Iranian ports, but he's not blocking the strait. No one has ever blocked the strait. So if you've seen this whole body of reporting, and I get trolls and naysayers even on our side saying, well, this led to a blockade, and that's what's causing the problem with the oil. There's no blockade. There isn't. I've heard media analysts say this. Well, Trump failed to anticipate the blockade. There's no blockade. There's a rumor, and it's not going to last forever. I mean, you've got all kinds of naval ships now. We've got several dozen out there in the strait. They're up, down, and all around. They're not blowing up. The fear will subside. The capitalistic urge is too strong. So bottom line here, the American media sucks. But they keep repeating this thing about the strait for some reason. Now, let me tell you what's just happened, because it's very exciting. We're headed for the real conflict here. And the way that Trump has built up to it in about six stages is masterful, starting with Venezuela. Cutting off China's oil, then bombing Iran, defanging them so we could get in the strait, so we could do what we're doing now, which is blockading ship traffic to and from Iran. Who is the main target of that? Well, number one, Iran, but number two, China. Folks, we are very close to the confrontation phase with China. We just have to get the proxy Iran out of the way. And that's what has been done here. Did you catch what just happened? Two things. And folks, this is going to lead to a showdown with China. This is going to actually be, that for me, the most nerve-wracking part of the war. Or maybe not. Maybe they'll just capitulate. It could go that way. Here's what happened. Three things. Watch this. General Raising Cane yesterday, during this show, came out and said, listen, our blockade is going so well, blocking these Iranian ships from coming back and forth and the Chinese ships from coming to get the oil, we're going to go worldwide with it. No ships go to Iran. No ships allowed to transit anywhere that are carrying illicit Iranian oil. And that includes Iranian ships, sure, but Chinese ships as well. Any coming in, any going out. You get caught with that sanctioned oil, we're taking your ship. Well, you know who that sets us up for a head-on collision with? China. Maybe Russia, but definitely China. Number two, watch what Scott Bessent just did. What did he say? Secondary sanctions. Two reasons. Number one, secondary sanctions on you if you are a banking entity, including in China, and he was very specific about this, that's moving Iranian cash. Yeah, those are economic sanctions. Those are stop the flow of goods stuff. So he's saying to China, we know what banks of yours are moving the money. Stop it, or we're going to slap you with sanctions. But number two, on the other hand, the military side of it, they're saying, look, you're going to get the secondary sanctions. We catch you with that Iranian oil. We catch you with illicit goods going in or out of Iran. We catch you moving equipment back and forth. It doesn't matter. You're moving anything to Iran. Could be boxes of Kleenex. We're going to get you and hit you with secondary sanctions. What does that mean? Trump is doing with the Navy and with military sanctions what he was doing with tariffs before the Supreme Court took it away. This is going to set us up for a head-on, possibly military collision with China. Now, we had a little one the other day. Chinese ship, everybody wanted to know, was flagged Malta. I don't know. It was a Chinese ship, and everybody watched for a little bit. Would it turn around? Or, you know, when it confronted the U.S. Navy, they turned around. But this is the nerve-wracking part, folks. We are getting Iran out of the way so we can get to the real enemy. China.
Now let's lighten it up a little bit with Bob Rose in Gainesville, Florida, and a story about law and order that'll have you scratching your head.
Well, a sheriff in Wisconsin, got involved in a report by a woman who says she was detained by ICE for hours and hours for no reason. Well, The woman's name is Sundas Nakvi of Skokie, Illinois. The sheriff did his due diligence, and it turns out that during the period of time she says she was being held by federal authorities, she had actually checked into the Hampton Inn and Suites in Rosemont, Illinois, and even enjoyed food, spa services, and trips to the gym during the alleged stay. Wow. So she is in legal trouble, and the only downside of that is there is no spa at the county jail. And that is your smoking gun.
Thank you for listening to Red Meat, a collection of conservative audio from Odyssey's talk stations across the country. This is the place where we're not afraid to dig in, listen wherever you get podcasts, and smash that subscribe button.